Good morning. Hey, you know, sometimes we come to church all kind of built up, and we're not ready to listen until we take just a moment of silence. I feel like we don't utilize silence enough. So if you work with me for just a moment here, I want to give you just a few moments of silence to center yourself so that you can disregard that which is human and seek that which is divine. In order to help you out with that, I'm just going to put one question up on the board, give you a few moments to consider this question, and then I'll bring us back together. And Lord God, we seek you. We seek your voice in our life. We seek that which is divine, which comes from you. Speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a current series called Follow. There's a lot of assumptions that go along with that word, actually, follow. It assumes a couple different things that I just kind of want to break out. Number one, that we actually can identify who we're following. Number two, that actually what that person is or is saying or is doing is actually something worthy to follow. It actually states in the idea of following that actually the reason I am following is because I don't have what it takes. That's a hard one to swallow there, isn't it? So let me just review that again. I don't have what it takes, therefore, I need to follow. I have identified the messenger and the message. There's a lot of assumptions in there that we have accurately been able to discern what that is. In fact, let me put another question in front of you right now. Let me put a second question. How can we follow if we can't identify the master or his message? Now, for those of you who are here for the first time or you've just been exposed to this kind of conversation of following, I just want to say I'm impressed by you. I'm impressed by the fact that you would show up in church this morning and that you'd be willing to be a part of this conversation, and I actually believe that you're here on purpose. I believe that inside of you there's something that you are seeking, something that is pulling you into this space. There's a thirst, a desire for more, an understanding that there could be hope and purpose in a life that seems hopeless and without purpose. So thanks for coming and being with us. You need to understand that for those of us who come here on a regular basis, we actually call ourselves followers. Another word is disciples, followers. People who actually have said, you know, we identify with somebody. And the reason we identify with somebody is because we realize that our self and our human condition is not enough. What we have, who we are, is not enough. We realize that there is life after death, and that here is the key thing, we cannot save ourselves. And not only can we not save ourselves, but salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. And therefore, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And because he is the Son of God, he is the master and has the message. And we just don't want to miss the master and his message. That's what it is to follow. But the reality is, in our human condition, it's so hard to follow. You know, we as humans are so temporary in our understanding, so immediate in our desire, so just, I mean, squirrel. We're just broken. You know, I don't know if that's like you, but you just, ooh, that's shiny. You know, and you just, it's so hard to follow because we get so distracted. It's the human condition that makes it hard to follow. That's the tweet of the morning. It's the human condition, the fact that we are broken, the fact that we are disconnected, and the fact that we have so many desires and so many things that attract our attention, that it is actually hard to follow. And sometimes we misidentify the message and the master. This is not new to us. This is the problem with humanity from its inception. If you go all the way back to the garden, it's the problem with humanity. They were said, Adam and Eve, here you are. It's a perfect environment. Don't do one thing. That looks good. You know, we just have this inability to remain focused. And in order to follow well, we need to focus. And we need to understand that we need to be able to identify the master and the message. And Jesus struggled with this, even with his disciples. Today, we're gonna walk through a story that exactly exemplifies this in Mark chapter 8. Now, if you have a Bible, you're gonna want to go there today. If you don't have a Bible, grab one from in front of you. And if you don't know where Mark is, here's, open up the table of contents, look under New Testament, and it's the second book, Matthew, Mark. Go to chapter 8. If you need help, somebody around you can help you out. We're gonna see a brief little story here that I think has an amazing, amazing truth for us today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the story straight through initially, just so that we can grab the story and put it in our minds. And after we read the story, we're going to then go back in verse by verse and walk through the content of this a little bit to kind of see what's going on in this story and why the disciples who are following Jesus, what's going on in this interaction right at this moment, okay? So let's read the scripture straight through, Mark 8, verse 14. Here it is. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And the 7,000. Excuse me, in the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up them? And he said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Do you not yet understand? So there's an interaction that's happening here. If you read through the book of Mark and you understand the story of Jesus, there's multiple things that are happening. Jesus is always moving from one place to the next. We don't have all the intricacies of the stories, of all the movements, but the Gospels, all 4 of them put together, give us a more complete picture of what's happening in terms of the life of Jesus, that master who we are following and the message which we are trying to secure. These are his disciples. They're trying to follow the master and secure the message also for themselves. And here they are, they just went across the Sea of Galilee. So here they are, the sea, they get on a boat, and they're going over to the east side. Now on the west side is where all the cities are. This is where they've come from. They've done some great ministry. They've crossed over going to a place where there's not as many towns. There's no bread stores, if you will. And as they get across after ministry, they get across this little sea, this giant lake, if you will. They cross this place, they get over there, and they're focused on one thing, which is what most men are thinking about most of the time. What is there to eat? Right? That's why they say a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? That's an invaluable truth that you need to understand. And so they're concentrated on this one fact that there is no bread. Notice what it says in verse 14. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had one loaf in the boat with them. They were completely focused on the temporary. They were completely focused on the physical assets that were in front of them. They were thinking, I'm hungry, where's the food? I'm hungry now, 2 seconds later, what am I going to eat? They're not considering what they're even doing in this space. They're not considering the fact that they're in the boat with the Son of God. The Son of God is in the boat with them, and they're thinking about bread. What does this teach us? The disciples love gluten. I totally resonate with that. You know what I'm saying? I love gluten, right? And I know that some of you are thinking to yourself, I knew there was something wrong with Nate. Because, you know, most churches nowadays could be divided by this. You know, I mean, they could be divided by those who love gluten and those who don't, right? The Hatfields and the McCoys, right? I mean, this is an enormous problem, the fact that the disciples here are condoning gluten. I mean, can you imagine this? You go back, way back into the time when Jesus was breaking bread. Think about this. In the Last Supper, when he breaks bread, in the night in which he was betrayed, he broke bread and he said, is there any gluten-free option? No. I mean, just the intensity of this. Doesn't this speak to you a little bit? I'm sorry, I digress. I digress a little bit here from the gluten thing. But anyways, let's go to the next, verse 15. This right here is the key message that the master is trying to communicate to his disciples. It's almost like he's a parent. He is, in a sense. Those of you who are ever guiding kids, whether parents or grandparents or Sunday school teachers or teachers in school, you know that when the person that you're trying to mentor brings up a topic, you're going, okay, based on this topic, I'm going to bring up something very important. So this is exactly what he does. Notice verse 15. When they're talking about bread, he says, he cautioned them saying, watch out. Literally, be careful. Attention, attention, attention. 911. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. These words were chosen specifically and have intense meaning. This idea of leaven is a long, long lasting principle and word in the scriptures. In fact, in the New Testament, all but one time is leaven associated with the negative side of life. What is leaven? Leaven, as we would know it today, is yeast, right? It's actually a fungus that grows. You put it in the dough and it grows through the bread and it helps the bread expand. It gives it that Pillsbury Doughboy kind of feel, right? That it gives it that texture to it, right? That's what yeast is. But it was a massively significant conversation and word even at this time. And the reason is because it goes way back to Exodus. Way back to Exodus, the book of Exodus, which is identifying actually what's happening with the people of Israel at that moment, which is when right after the 10 plagues happened, in Egypt, right after the 10 plagues, Moses says to them, get up and go. So they got up and they left, and they did not have time to let the yeast get into their bread for the next day. And so for the next few days, the next several days, until they got into the proper rotation, they ate bread that was out without yeast. And it was because of that moment that they celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's a commanded feast that they were to live out from that moment all the way through, remembering that God delivered them from that moment. But yeast in the New Testament speaks of the insidious nature of things that can come in small doses inside of a larger lump, but will actually permeate the whole lump. And in this case, he's speaking of two specific ones. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees being, of course, the religious power of the day. So he's saying right here, he's saying, be careful of the religious control. They are seeking to control you through religion. They're trying to control the conversation, and they're trying to control the people with the religion. If you know anything about the Pharisees, all of those rules and regulations that they had and their understanding of it was what helped them maintain the power over people. Jesus is saying, be careful, because they're trying to say little things here and there. They're trying to trip you up. Now, if you've studied the Gospels, you know this to be entirely true. And the reason is because constantly the Pharisees would be asking Jesus trick questions. They were these little insidious questions that no matter how you answered them, they could be wrong. And the Master, Jesus, is telling the disciples, be very careful. Listen, watch, be intentional. Be focused, because when you live in the human present time, you're actually viewed in an eternal perspective. Folks, you're supposed to focus on the divine. Don't get messed up in the human stuff. So it's religious control, but it's also political power. Because Herod, of course, being the king at that point, be careful of the power and the of politics. Of course, many of you knew this was a big problem that was happening with Jesus. Most of the people, including the disciples, probably even at this very moment, are thinking that yes, he's the Messiah, and actually what he's going to do is he's going to come, and you may remember Easter, which we're getting to here soon, he was coming in, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. What were they thinking was going to happen? He was coming to establish the kingdom. He was going to be the king. Wow, the tables turned when all of a sudden they took him and they crucified him. That's why it didn't make sense to most people, because they thought, this is going to be our king. This is the Messiah. Well, yes, he's going to be the king, but not in that moment. And here in this world, you know this, we experience it all the time. You can look back over the history of life and see that religious control has always been an issue. Religious control, the things that have been done in the name of God, just think about it for a moment. There's extreme power, and that's the sacredness of this spot. When those of us who come into this space, this is a sacred space. We have to be very careful not to shackle you, but to point you. Not to bind you, but to free you. To live a life that is in accordance with the Master's message. We are not the Master. Religious control, political power. Do I need to say anything about this? I mean, seriously. You see the media today and the political system that we are here in the United States. Do you think there's anybody in Washington on either side, wherever you are, that at some point wants control. Everybody wants control. And you know what they do? They get in and they use these crafty little words to create these amazing little pictures, and they do this ninja kind of wordsmithing to help you understand that in the end, you don't understand at all what they're saying. Right? Political power. And Jesus is taking this moment, he's saying, be careful. So what do the disciples do after hearing these words from the Son of Jesus? The Son of God, Jesus Christ. What do they do? Next verse. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. Hey, you got the bread? I don't got the bread. I brought the salami. Well, what about you? Did you bring the bread? No, I got the prosciutto. I got the prosciutto. I don't got the bread. You got the bread? Who's got the matz? What's we going to do? I know some of you are kind of going, is this like the first mafia? Well, if you think about it, Jesus Christ was the first made man put in charge by the God Father. So, hey, I'll leave it up to you to figure out. All right? So I think they're sitting there going, what's up with the bread? What's happening here? Where's the bread? I'm hungry, right? What's happening? Can you just imagine? It's a good thing I wasn't Jesus, because I'd be like, zap. I just distinguish him right there. I can't take it anymore. He just spoke these amazing words coming from God Almighty. And they're like, I'm so hungry. I can't even understand. Where's the matz? Then he goes into a series of questions. Listen to this, verse 17. And Jesus, aware of this, no joke, right, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Come on, boys. Are your hearts hardened? They were missing the master and his message. They were missing it. Having eyes you do not see, and having ears you do not hear, and you do not remember. They're arguing about bread. And so he goes back in verse 19 and he reminds them, hey, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, right, when I broke that, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said 12. You would have thought at that moment it would have been like, that's right. We're going to have plenty of bread. Because they had seen these miracles take place. You remember the 5,000. Who's got bread? What are you kidding me? There's 5,000 people around this. Go see what you can find. The kid comes. Remember the 5 loaves, 2 fish? He comes. He blesses. He prays. And they start sitting there passing out bread to 5,000 males plus the females, the kids, whatever was there. Thousands of people. And at the end of it, they collected 12 baskets. But that's not enough. Verse 20. And what about the 7 for the 4,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up then? And they said 7. Like 2 unbelievable miracles that had happened recently concerning the very physical item that they're talking about. The very physical loaf of bread that they're talking about had just happened. And they're so distracted, so broken in their humanness, that they're missing the message. Not only did they miss the message of the master, but frankly, I think they missed previous messages of the master. Because to not be able to connect the dots and go, there were 5, we fed 5,000. There were 7, we fed 4,000. There's 1, and we got 12 of us. Either they were really bad at math. You got to remember, Levi was a tax collector. He understood numbers. There's no way. But this is what happens with the human condition. The human condition that's inside of us takes over, and it's insidious in nature. It literally walks and it penetrates who we are, and we miss the master and we miss the message. We aren't following because we're not focusing. Final verse, he says what? And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Powerful question. Do you not yet understand? I mean, that's a great question for us. Is it not? For those of us who say Jesus is our master, Jesus is the person we are trying to follow. I mean, there's a lot of things to take out of this. This passage is a lot of things. Number one, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. I work at an organization that's called Berea. Berea comes from a name of a town that's found in Acts 17:11. And in there it says this, "And the Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true." Let me capture this for you. Paul, the apostle, by the way, Saint Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, that guy. He showed up at a church one time, and he was telling them stuff. And the Berean said, "I know it's you, Paul. I hear you. I understand, but we don't follow you. We follow him. So let's just verify that what you're saying is what he has already said. Because if there's any mismatch, we got issues." This right here is the core teaching that is coming out of this. Beware of religious control and beware of political power. Those two pieces are not at all what it's about. Jesus did not come in that moment to be the king and set up the kingdom. He is the king. He's always been the king. There's never been any question in his mind who's in charge. In our minds, we wonder, but not in his mind. Be careful with the political power. But I think there's that message that's completely embedded in this portion of scripture. But the bigger message and the bigger question I have for us is this. How can you follow if you cannot identify the master and his message? You think about this. How can you do it? It's very tough. So what I want to do is this. I'm going to give you, in a minute here, I'm going to put up five questions. I'm actually going to use the same questions that Jesus used, right in the verses 17 and 18. So you can see them right there in Scripture. I'm going to lay the first question out, and I'm just going to put, I have a phrase that I put under it, and then a question for you to take away. Okay? And I'm going to give you some time to think through this. Okay? Let's put up the first slide. This is the first question. Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Separating out the human element from the divine is at the core of following. What physical or human element is distracting you? You might want to write these questions down. Or, if you don't have pen and paper right now, you can just email somebody at the church. They'll give you all these questions if you want. What physical or human element is distracting you? Let's go to the next question. Do you not perceive or understand? No one can follow without discerning or assimilating the master's teaching. It is impossible to follow if you cannot ascertain the message from the master. How do you grasp and capture what is important to the master? How do you do that? Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, how are you going to do that? You going to turn on CNN? Search the scriptures daily? How are you going to grasp and capture what is important to the master? That's a question you need to wrestle with. How about this third question? Are your hearts hardened? Followers, by definition, cannot be set in their own ways. Because to follow is to proclaim that I don't have what it takes and that I am seeking the message of the master. If I am set in my ways, I cannot be a follower. In fact, if I'm set in my ways, who am I following? What truth from the master's teaching are you resisting? I don't know where you are today. I don't know what your space is. I don't know if all these questions or if just one of these questions might mean something to you. I don't know. These are the questions that Jesus used with his disciples in the boat when they were arguing about bread. What's the next one? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? To be a follower, one must be keen to observe and receive that which the master delivers. What truth from which master is moving you? Let me decipher that question for you. I don't need to hear what you believe. All I need to do is watch you. I don't need to hear what you think, what is deep inside of you. All I have to do is spy on you from across the street and watch your life. Because our eyes move us. Our ears, the things that penetrate our five senses. There's only two senses up here, but there's five. The things that penetrate our senses, this is what moves us. I'm uncomfortable. I'm hungry, thirsty. My wife has called my name, first, middle, and last. I need to move. Another question. And do you not remember? To follow, one must faithfully embody the master's teaching based on previous experience. It is a walk of faith, my friends, and a walk of faith requires faith that you're not going to know exactly what's happening, but the way you can move in a walk of faith is because you look back and you go, I know he is, therefore he will be. I know, therefore he was, therefore he is. I know that in the past he's been there, therefore I faithfully walk in that direction. What past experience with the master could empower you, could motivate you, could embrace your heart and your mind and your actions to help you follow stronger and harder, whatever that word is for you? Let me ask you to do this. What has God done for you in the past that will help you keep walking in the future? That's what these apostles, that's what these guys, don't you remember the 5,000 we fed and the 4,000 we fed? Don't worry about the bread. Don't worry about the bread. We got this. I want you to take a moment in your mind. Like I said, if you want these questions, you can email somebody at church and they'll give them to you. But I don't know what questions sparked. Maybe none of them. Maybe there's a question that God placed on your heart that was completely different than what you needed. I don't know exactly what God is doing in your life. I don't presume to know that. I know that God spoke to me as I was studying for this passage. And the key is this. If you want to follow, you need to be able to identify the master and his message. And I'm going to tell you right now, in the middle of a time when religious control and political power is at a height, it's really hard to do. So I'm here today to tell you this. The master desires your presence. He's inviting you into a relationship to follow him, to learn from him, to experience him, to engage in the abundant life, to engage in a life of purpose, to engage in a life of hope, to engage in a life of meaning, because by following him, you engage in that. If you're here today and you need somebody to pray for you, we will have people down here that would love to pray with you, to walk you through maybe one of these questions or another question you have. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, today's the day. We're all broken in here. We would love to embrace you as a brother, as a sister, and we would love to help you follow as we struggle ourselves, to constantly be aware of the divine in the human, to constantly be aware that we are following because we are broken and the master has a message to deliver. May you go in peace, and may you seek his face, and may he walk with you day by day. Enjoy your time with the master today. You're dismissed.